This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
It's time for the firm of Harris and Meringue.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Meringue.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends.
That's
it, baby. That's it, baby. Welcome to the firm of Harris and Meringue. Patrick Harris with you. To my left.
Hey.
Danny Meringue back in the house.
Bear with me here as we have to adjust the levels.
The boys are back in town. You know, we might be the only full show here at the Fan in the last 2 weeks.
I think we're right. Oh, God. There is a horrendous buzz in my headset.
Welcome back. Do you forget how to do this?
No, it's not me. It's, yeah, it's...
I've had to do everything in my...
Technology.
I've had to do everything in my power for the last 2 days, Danny, to not, like, curse your name for, like... Why is Danny gone? Why do I got to carry this show? This is a bunch of bullsh. Like, I don't understand. I'm very not happy about this. And then I realized I had all of last week off.
There you go.
I got to remember. Okay, all right. Hold up, buddy. You, future Patrick is mad at past Patrick.
See?
Once again.
Once again.
Should have taken the next week off and not the first week off.
I mean, I did tell you this.
I know you did. I know you did. I know you did. I know.
Getting kicked out of everything because I've been gone for too long.
It's all right. It's all right. How are you, my friend? Did
I'm
you have a good holiday?
I'm doing good, man. It was different. Certainly, surgery on Christmas Eve is not exactly, I think, the way that you go about it. I'm going to have a stroke because...
Dude, you are so loud in my headphones right now.
There is a buzz in my headphones, so we're going to have to figure that out in the break. But no, it was interesting. I went in for surgery Christmas Eve, 9 in the morning. Went under the knife at about 11. No, at 9:30. Went under at 11. Doctors told me when they gave me the anesthesia, they go, "Hey, what's a place you want to go to?" And I was like, "I've been to all the places I want to go to."
Valhalla.
They're like, "What
yo, mama?"
Yeah. And they're like, "Well, you know, you got a significant other?" I was like, "Yeah, I got a girlfriend." They're like, "Where you want to take her?" I go, "Everywhere." And then that's
everywhere.
That's the last thing I remember saying. And they go, "Yeah, you know, some people they react to anesthesia different ways." They go, "You were you're a dead body. Like you were just gone. Like they put your head in a vise and they go, "We just rotated you over and like your tongue flapped out and then we just clamped it down and you were good to go." And it was one of those things where you didn't move at all, but the surgery was about an hour and a half long. Got picked up, went home. And the anesthesia stayed in me for a while. I had to take my earrings out for the surgery. My dad came and picked me up and he was like, "Yeah, it took you 20 freaking minutes to put your earrings back in." I was like, "Just put them in the box and let's go.
We'll do it later."
Yeah. And I was like, no, I got this. I got this.
I do it every day, Dad.
But I posted up in the, they've got one of those super nice, like electric recliners that has all the different positions and did that. Got up in the morning, and I did successfully make breakfast burritos Christmas morning, and then I made Christmas dinner. So accomplished all those things, and then I was telling Tiff the story of Russ. That, you know, I've mentioned this one before about being really good at road games. When we go out there, you have to establish dominance. Well, I tried to stay establish dominance.
Yes.
And I said establishing dominance because I my nose. She's just like, oh, establishing dominance.
Yeah.
Dominance.
Yeah. Goonies. You know, that's what I said. Booty trap.
It was so bad. But now, as you can tell. Surgery successful. Yesterday, I had the stents taken out. Let me tell you right now, holy shnikes. These things are about 4.5-5 inches long. And
prepare yourselves, listeners.
Yeah, and they are shoved up your nose. Yeah, and it's not great. It's not just the swelling that I had to deal with. It was these plastic rubbery things that were shoved up in my brainstem. And I went in yesterday, and they just kind of pry your nostrils open. They cut the dissolvable stitches, and they just pull these things out. And then
it was brutal, dude.
Then they suction out your nose with basically like a vacuum straw. And after she got done with that, she goes, all right, take a deep breath. I started to cry because I did not realize this is how you all breathe. I went 41 years of not breathing like
felt
this.
Felt it right there.
And, yeah, I have to I actually have to change the way I talk a little bit.
I got way too much snare in my headphones.
I do.
Right now.
It's crazy. I can still feel that I'm drawing more breath in from the left side. I have to actively concentrate on taking air in on the right side. I realize that I talk with my tongue more on the left side because that's where the oxygen was coming from. So it's changing.
You got a lazy tongue now?
I do. Like I can feel like the right side of my tongue is like more engaged now when I talk. And I don't sound vastly different, but I'm a lot clearer. I'm a lot louder.
Great.
Yeah.
Just what everybody here wants.
That's what we all need.
Fantastic. Merry friggin' Christmas.
It's a lot, to be honest. And it the first couple hours of getting those things out of my nose. It was kind of weird. And not just like the physical sensation, it's the sound of my voice and like how much air was coming out of my nose on my mustache.
You know,
it was just weird.
Now that I can hear you in my headphones, you sound a little higher up.
Yeah.
A little higher register.
Yeah. It's very weird.
We were talking about, while you were gone, we were talking about putting your voice in a modulator so you could sound like Anthony Newman.
Oh, there you go.
And I was like, I don't know. I don't think anybody has the sweet pipes like Q does.
No.
You can't.
They're
sound doo-doo like
also.
Yeah,
doo-doo
that's my
also.
Guy right
yeah.
there.
No, it's great. It's weirdly enough, I was like late afternoon after I was just feeling a little bit better. I was like, you know what? Let me try singing. And I was just
that's got to be wild,
bro. It was weird. Like I used to be very nasally, and there'd be almost a buzz in the back of my nose when I would sing, and it was completely gone. And the first time I actually tried to push something out. Like loud sing, it was just like, oh, like I stopped.
It took me by surprise, I must say.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've been working on drops while you're
gone. It was great. it was just like, oh. And again, it kind of like startled me to the point, like a kind of a tear stopped, not because my voice was so great, because it was just such a different sensation.
You might need to challenge old Schultzy in a croonoff.
I know, right?
I would say challenge me, but I lost the croonoff, so you're going to have to challenge Schultzy.
I don't have to go ladder, take you on first, and then take on the champ?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's...
I better be included this time, too.
If you would like to.
You got to get in on that. But yeah, it was... I will say, the first 2 days really sucked, but they weren't as... like. As much as it was uncomfortable and awkward, I would do it again a million times. Like this.
Well, I joked with you. I'm like, I don't have a deviated septum, but can they just go up my nose and scrape some things out?
Oh,
that'd
be
fantastic.
No, it's, again, the first 2 days, they suck. Like, you're pretty miserable. Shout out drugs, because especially that first day, I really needed them.
You know this show is pro drugs.
Yeah, it was just, I got to the point where I was only taking basically a half to maybe a full painkiller a day. And at the very end of like, I didn't take any yesterday. Well, no, that's not wrong. That's so wrong. I took a half of one yesterday earlier in the day because I knew I was going to get those things out of my nose. And they're like, yeah, it might suck. So I did that, but I haven't had anything else other than that. So, but yeah, well worth it. And I slept for the first night last night without those things in. and I've got one of those Aura rings, and it tracks everything, like my heart rate variability and my breathing and all those oxygen
it
rate.
It just breaks. It doesn't work.
It just skyrocketed.
Yeah,
like, everything was, my heart rate was super low, especially after following the surgery. It dropped down to like 50. My breathing was at like 98% efficiency. Like, I was just like, and I looked at that, it tracks movement in your sleep. Mm. There's like a 5.5 hour period where I just did not move at all. And I was like, oh. Mm-hmm. And again, waking up today, you said it, like, oh, yeah, you've got, you know, you sound louder, but you've got a lot more energy too. I was like, yeah, I had my first night of breathing normally.
That'll do it for you.
So that was super cool.
Did you at least get to, like, watch sports and football and stuff and just hang around, or did you...
Yeah, no,
were you just dead?
No, I told you before we started the show, I didn't do any Blazers games. I did a show from home via Zoom with Joe one night, and they only did half the show because, well, I was on painkillers, so... try to limit the exposure, at least, in that regard.
Y'all want to do some drugs?
Yeah, that's basically what it was. And but I didn't go to the arena. I felt okay enough to go to the arena, but it was like, okay, if I start, because the biggest issue was moving around a ton, my nose would start running, and when my nose would start running, it would be blood, not like just regular nose running. So being around people, I would have had to have this big nose strap on, and I'm like, you know what? Probably not a good idea to go up and down stairs. When your nose is running blood.
To borrow a phrase from a good friend of mine, coward.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's a coward move,
man. It was. I
expect more out of you.
I did not.
Can't be talking trash to everybody and then not follow through on your own.
I was not happy with myself, but I had some encouragement to not do that.
No, that's good.
So
sometimes it's nice to take a break, you know? I mean, I had all last
week. It was weird.
I had all last week off, and then I came in on Monday, and I was like, right, how do we do this? I was laughing with the brand man. I don't even remember if I'm going to be able to do this correctly.
I mean, I'm looking at my text line right now. It says 12 days ago, so it's been a little while since I've been over here on this computer.
What? You don't snoop on the old text line when you're not on the air?
Nope.
Sometimes I do. Not on our show.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I didn't listen to you on Monday and Tuesday. No offense.
Oh, yeah.
But it's kind of like what you said with the Blazers. I was like, you know what? I could just use a little
unplug. Yes. No, I turned you guys on yesterday morning for the first couple segments, and then the painkiller took over.
Yeah, you were like, so, adios.
I was like, all right. Now
I got lucky Monday at a bowl game to watch. Mm. You know, my West Coast teams in a West Coast city at an 11 a.m. kick on a Monday.
I should say Monday, not Tuesday.
That prevented me from listening to this fine program.
There you go. That happens.
Is anybody out there today?
No. Just Jerome.
Just Jerome. Shout out, Jerome.
Shout out, Jerome. When I pulled in the parking lot this morning, I was like, oh.
Oh, it's been that all week.
Has it?
Yep. I've been getting my primo spots every day.
I saw Jeff Russ pull up the truck and take that front row spot
Got
today.
Got it yesterday, too.
Yeah, look
Damn
at him.
Right he did.
That never happened.
Damn right he did. Damn right he did. Mm. Oakley Doakley, we got a great show for you today on this New Year's Eve. Happy New Year's Eve to everybody. Obviously, there's a lot to get to today. Oregon is going to take on Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl tomorrow. We'll get through that as well. We have Tyson Alger. He'll join us at 10:45 today. Just a single seggy from a very, very busy man. We're very thankful for his time. And the Big Nooner will hit some Blazers and talk some that, because I can't believe I'm going to say this. I've missed talking Blazers with Danny Meringue.
Missed you too, bud.
I know. I ran into some friends last night, and they were kind of like, yo, does Danny know anything about this? Does Danny know anything about that? I was like, man, I haven't talked to Danny about the Blazers in like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to some Blazers in the Big Nooner as well. We'll have web gems, everything. Championing to get one Andy Dirt Johnson on the show today to talk a little Ducks going into the Orange Bowl as well. But let's start there. How big is this game? Not just for today, but in the history of the program. This is the firm of Harrison Meringue back in action. Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
10:17 here, Portland sports leader, baby. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326 is the fan text line. She'll let you interact with us throughout the entire day. Shout out to the YouTubers out there, all three of us. YouTube.com/1051TheFan. Checking in for PDX Airport Warehouse. We are here working. Shout out to the Airport Warehouse.
Don't throw my bags.
I got another "I'm listening." And then tuned in, Tyler gave a shout out, and he just honked his horn telling everyone "I'm listening." So if you're out there, honk your horn, baby. Happy to have you guys here today. Come watch the Ducks and Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl with the Fan at Grand Central Bowl Arcade and Sports Bar on New Year's Day. Doors open early for the 9 a.m. kick. I believe that's 8:30 on the dot with food and drink specials throughout the day. Stick around after for the Dick Hanna Dealership's post-game scoreboard with Joe Fisher and Jordan Schultz live from Grand Central. For more details, head to the events page at 1051thefan.com. Daniel, there's a big game tomorrow morning.
Decently sized game tomorrow morning.
The Oregon Ducks are in Miami, Florida, to participate in the Orange Bowl against the Texas Tech Red Raiders. What did the line on this game open up to? I think it started at one and a half for the Ducks, and I think that has now moved up.
Spread's now 2.5.
2.5 for the Ducks, correct? So money's coming in.
Money's coming in on the Ducks, but all the analytics are now putting Tech as the favorite.
Yeah, ESPN matchup predictor has Texas Tech slightly edging Oregon, but it's a 50-50. Before we get into kind of just the magnitude of this game, is this the most evenly matchup unknown game of the four?
I mean, it should be because you're talking about a 4-5.
So the rankings proved it correct.
Yeah. I feel like Tech's getting kind of shafted,
really,
in some of the way this
stuff
is
looked
at.
Are you sure that's just not you hating on your Oregon Ducks?
Yes, 100%. I've seen a lot. You know, I caught Pate doing his breakdown of this game, and I was like, I wonder where he's falling on this, and he kind of lined up with where I am on this. Of like, hey man, you know, everybody talks about Tech's defense, but their offense isn't bad. This whole idea of like, they're only this defensive-minded team, and, you know, we have to worry about Oregon's defense against Tech's offense. Look, Dante's better than Baron Morton. There's no doubt about that.
No doubt about it. His receiving core is better than Texas Tech's.
Yes.
Assuming DeCorian is fully healthy.
Yes.
Ooh.
I squinted that.
Dante is better than Baron Morton.
Yes.
Boom.
Yes.
10 toes down.
There you go. For sure.
Receiving core, though.
You can make an argument.
I like their running backs.
Yeah.
I like their running backs.
I like Oregon's running back depth better, especially if Davison's healthy to go. Mm-hmm. But even when I look at Dante, this is not a, you know, Dante Moore is Timothy Chalamet.
Right.
Against just some dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we have to make sure we're not looking at it like it's Oregon James Madison again.
Yeah, and also he's not Drew Aller.
Because let's not forget, this is the best team money can buy against the Oregon Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like, I know everybody wanted to put that narrative on Lanning all season. Mike Gundy shouldn't have done that. That you paid the price for that one. Texas Tech is truly the best team money can buy right now because they kind of came from nothing into a college football playoff team with a bye that can win this game.
It worked out. That's really the story around this is with McGuire. They brought in 21 players onto this team.
They took a chance on a high school football coach.
Mm-hmm. Worked out pretty good.
It worked out pretty good. And they put a ton of money into the facilities. You know, I can't imagine. I know this is probably my bias seeping in, but I can't imagine what this team would have looked like 20 years ago when Mike Leach was there, you know?
I want to make this comparison real quick between Dante Moore and Baron Morton, okay? Dante threw for 3,046 yards. Baron Morton threw for 2,643. Morton did that in one less game. If you put his average, which is about 240, guess where he's at?
Right there.
It's almost exactly the same. He had 22 touchdowns, 4 picks. Dante had 28 touchdowns, 8 picks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the gap between those two quarterbacks is this seismic gap.
I don't think so either. I think the seismic gap in it is just Baron Morton's availability over the years.
Yes, because he's been so dinged up, and he's been dinged up this year. He missed the game. He's been dealing with the bum wheel.
Been kind of lurking on some Texas Tech subreddits, Substack, stuff like that, to just kind of get some information on this team, because I'm going to be honest, I wish I would have watched them more. I spent more time in the Big 12 watching Kenny Dill and Whittingham and Sataki, those teams. I didn't see Texas Tech coming like this. And what a lot of stuff that I've read about Texas Tech is that Baron Morton is a very, very good quarterback, but our perception of him and his evolution has been stunted due to his availability. He only missed the one game this year, but he's missed games every year he's been at Tech. And that is kind of a dangerous thing to have to prep for if you're Tosh Lupoy and Dan Lanning, because this kid could be better than what the tape is actually showing you.
And here's the thing, is when we get to the wide receiver core, okay? Tech has four guys with 550 yards or more receiving. Four. Three of them are their wide receivers. The fourth one's their tight end. Their tight end had 46 catches for 550. Then you have three wide receivers with 47, 55, and 54 catches. The guy at top, Caleb Douglas, that's their deep threat. He's averaging almost 16 yards a catch, 846 yards in the season, and you have 7, 6, 6, and 5 touchdowns. That means you have four guys
spreading the ball around.
Are very good. Again, Oregon depth-wise, this is where I think this game is going to find its rhythm, is the depth.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tech's top end, particularly on defense, is better than Oregon's. That linebacker core is the best linebacker core in the country.
Hands down, it's not close. I've been saying it for weeks. You know, I would have given my Heisman vote to Rodriguez.
It's not just Rodriguez. That defense is filthy.
What do they call the linebacking core? It's like the mustache boys or something like that. Some of them have great mustaches and some of them have terrible mustaches, but so that's what they do.
You've got Rodriguez, who is a one-man wrecking crew.
Yes.
And then as far as pass rushers, you have two of the best pass rushers in the country in David Bailey and Romello Height.
It's not just the linebackers. It's the D-line as well. And their secondary does a good job of coming up and stopping the run as well.
Oh, and that's the thing is they're the best rush defense in the country. Mm-hmm. And so what that does to teams is they put you behind the sticks, and you get predictable. And guess what? They lead the nation in takeaways with 31.
Yep.
So when you've got three guys that are absolute demons as pass rushers, you've got a linebacking core that eats up everything in the lanes. Guess what your secondary gets to do? Pray.
Yep.
Just pray on the ball all game long.
Just be Ed Reed for Halloween.
You get those opportunities because the quarterback has got to get the ball out quick.
And that's going to be such a fascinating thing. I know quarterbacks don't play against each other, so it's sometimes it's kind of a garbage conversation topic between the two of them. But Baron Morton can play an ugly game, and they can still win this game. I don't know if Dante can play an ugly game.
When the Ducks have struggled.
And you know me, I love Dante. Yeah,
when the Ducks have struggled, what has it been due to?
Dante's struggled, and he's been hit.
Mm-hmm.
To take the Indiana game, for example, that's the best one. He's been hit, gets a little rattled. But at the flip side, though, you've seen so many games in big moments where Dante has been cool and been calm
and he'll make a throw or two that just goes, whoa.
And we probably nitpick Dante too much here in the Northwest just because we see him so much. The Josh Pates of the world, the Gary Danielsons of the world who thinks he's like the greatest quarterback he's ever seen play football. They don't see him as much as we do. I see the poise. I see the calmness. I see the NFL throws. But I've also seen, you know, I've seen Indiana punch him in the face and him not have a good time with that.
See, now, Indiana, though, is one of the best defenses in the country.
Without a doubt.
Texas Tech also up there as well. And
Oregon also up there as well.
Right. Yes, of course. And I don't remember exactly how much time has passed since that loss to Indiana.
At this point, it feels like last year.
Right, doesn't it? But so I think that we also have to look at how much more has Dante Moore learned since then. In terms of when he has faced a little bit of adversity, because let's face it, not every game since then has been a blowout. They've been tested more than anybody expected throughout some of those. So how much more experience do we think, how much does that count between that Indiana loss and tomorrow morning?
I think that's a fantastic point, Rusty. I really do. I think Dante's maturation which is a big part. We don't need to get into it, but it's a big part why I want to see him do one more year at Oregon. His maturation this year has been absolutely fantastic. We saw the first four games of the season, kind of against cupcakes, not a big deal. His stats were stupid, and we're talking Heisman, we're talking number one, blah, blah, blah. And then when the big games came, he had to evolve his play, and I think he's done a very, very good job of that. You're right, Russ. Dante is a very different quarterback today than he was against Indiana.
I love this, and I hope this is the same Duck fan that said that Oregon was going to do to Indiana what they did to who was it the year before? They said that Oregon was going to blow at Indiana. I've got your text saved somewhere. Don't worry, I screenshot. I got your number.
You keeping receipts over there?
Oh, yeah. When the obnoxious Duck fan gets obnoxious like
this. Is
that
surprising?
You guys comparing Texas Tech quarterback and wide receivers to Oregon quarterback and wide receivers is absurd. Next, you're going to tell me that USC knows how to tackle. Fantasy land, boys.
Well, you kind of were. I don't want to get lumped in this. I like Oregon's wide receiver crew way better. I think it's deeper, and losing to Corian Moore and Gary Bryant.
Depth, certainly. That's
showed,
where I agree.
Showed McClellan and Benson, Malik Benson are dudes.
Depth, for sure.
And ain't nobody got a Kenyon Sadiq.
No, they don't. But on the same token, when you're talking about who's on the field, USC had the best wide receiver room in the country. I told you that going into that game, you got to see them up close and personal. Was I wrong?
As advertised.
Okay. When you've got the guys and they're healthy, and Texas Tech's guys are healthy, that top four is just as good as Oregon's. Mm-hmm. They are right there with it. Now, if you want to say Dante's better, I have no issue with that.
I would be shocked if I had to listen to anybody tell me that Baron Morton is a better quarterback than Dante.
You shouldn't,
Morton.
But he's also, this isn't just some gamer. You know what I mean? Like, he's efficient. He's completes 67% of his passes. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's productive. Like, he's a good college quarterback.
Great.
Dante has the advantage, but this idea that Texas Tech's offense is so lacking, it's like, no, guys, this is not a team that's just built on defense.
Well, I think some of that, too, though, I think some of that is...
They have three running backs that are averaging over 5 yards a carry.
Who's the second-best defense in the Big 12?
Probably...
See what I mean?
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm going a little bit there.
No.
Not to discredit, but I think that it can be where if you're a Duck fan and you're rooting for the Ducks to win this game, that might be your sticking point. Is
Big Ten versus Big 12?
Yeah,
for
that,
sure.
That the defense is in the Big 12. Look, we thought Utah was going to have a great defense. I've seen them in shootouts and getting blown out. You know,
By this Tech team.
BYU lost to them twice and were handled very, very well. And BYU has this prize DC that's going to Michigan now, and he couldn't stop this. So I think there's a little bit of that conference versus conference comparison.
But again,
the Big Ten is a
better
vastly
conference.
Better conference.
But in that
I'm watching
same
Iowa up 14-3 on Vandy. Mm-hmm. Y'all wanted Vandy in the playoff? I give you Kirk Ferentz.
Remember what we talked about? Whoever plays Iowa in a bowl game
is
going to
hate
their
life. And Vandy right now, with 10 seconds to go in the second quarter, hates their life.
Mm-hmm. But as an aside, and again, conferences, all those kind of things, they matter. Tech had the fourth best offense in the country in yards per game.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a, you know, SEC 2010 team that they're just going to beat you up defensively and control the ball. No, they're going to throw the ball, they're going to run the ball, and they're going to hang points on you.
The most recent SP Plus had Texas Tech jumping Oregon as a complete team. Not by much.
No, but again,
not by much.
Like, they're a good team, and like, Duck fan, chill. Chill. The last time you did this against Indiana, you got punched in the face. You guys have a chance. To be honest, I still have this as a coin toss game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the original spread, 1.5, that's where it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's getting bet up and all those kind of things, but Tech's good.
Tech is good.
Like, don't go in there thinking, oh, we're going to because, again, the last time that happened, you got smacked around.
Oh, boy, you don't want that to happen again. Let's talk about that. When we come back, we'll stick with this game. How big is this game? Is it compared to Ohio State last year? Where does this sit with hosting a playoff game? Where does this sit with playing in a natty against Auburn or against Ohio State or et cetera? You know, where does this game sit in the pantheon of Oregon Ducks as they take on the Texas Tech Red Raiders in the Orange Bowl tomorrow? You can catch all that action right here. Pre-game starts at 6. With Anthony Newman and Andy Dirt Johnson. We'll toss it to Jerry Jorgie and Dusty there at 7, kick at 9, and all the post-game festivities will be ready to go after the game is concluded right here on the Fan Sports Network. We'll get to more Ducks, Red Raiders next, but first, the Kahuna with sports.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Our good buddy Tyson Alger is going to join us here in about 5 minutes or so. We'll make this kind of short and sweet and get to him, talk to him about this game. Dare I say, you know, as someone who is from afar, that spent my entire life kind of rooting against the Ducks because just old Pac-10 rivalries and stuff like that. Now I just hate everybody in the Big Ten, so it's all equal to me. Looking at this perspective real quick, Danny, about the importance of this game and where it kind of sits in the pantheons of Oregon, I know they've played in national titles. I know Mariota's won a Heisman. Mm-hmm. This game feels like a lot to me.
It's probably top five.
Oh, easy top five, but I'm kind of wondering if it's like top three. In the sense that if they win this game, that's two college football playoff wins, mm-hmm. puts you in the semifinals, and all four teams in the semifinals, I believe, will have a chance to win a natty.
Here's the thing. You played in a natty, so that's number one for sure. I don't want to take away a playoff win
played
against Jim.
Two natties.
Well, you're right.
Yeah.
I don't want to take away a playoff win because a playoff win is a playoff win, but it's totally. Also JMU.
Agreed.
It's like a, hey, you did what you're supposed to do. Great. I look at this from the other side of it because, you know, that's me. If you lose this game, you've had three straight 12-win seasons, which you're the only team in FBS to do that. Good job. Like, mm-hmm. legitimately, it's not me, like, backhanding you. But when push came to shove, you did the Duck thing.
And that's why I kind of think this game is more important than people might realize.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think it has everything to do with narrative and I'm going to preface real hard on this. Please do not take this out of context. If the Ducks lose this game, there will be some noise around Dan.
There will.
And
I said this a couple weeks ago. And I was like,
And deservedly so. Now, I love Dan Lanning. And I think if Dan...
One of the five best coaches in the country.
If I had Dan Lanning as my coach, I would salivate. And yes. I like him more than some of the top dogs in this game. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what he's built at Oregon, especially coming off of Willie Taggart and Mario Cristobal and what Helfrich mm-hmm. emptied the cabinet from what Chip did. I love Dan. Dan's gotten a big free pass on this stuff, and deservedly so.
3-12 win seasons?
He's sure how much of a free pass he's gotten on certain losses, though, in terms of
the UW ones, for sure.
UW's were tough. Nobody cares about the Georgia one.
No, that one.
Nobody cares about that.
Well, that was game one.
Yeah.
But the Ohio State game last year, a lot of people hang that, and I think
when you get beat like that, that's the thing.
I think if you get beat by Texas Tech, it's like, damn close. That Tech team is pretty good. Cool.
Well, and I think it depends on if you get beat by them. It depends on how you get.
Exactly. Yes. If you get smacked around, I think that narrative is gonna get a little loud. And again,
but
a little deserved,
like
so.
A field goal at the horn.
We'll no, sit, you know, we'll
one,
sit
one
here
one score
on Friday.
Game in the final 5 minutes.
Yeah,
you were there. It happens. We'll do the thing.
We'll sit here on Friday and we'll go. They had a chance, and mm-hmm. this was their missed chance. This mm-hmm. was their missed opportunity. And if they win, we'll say the same thing. Like, hey, you got out of there with mm-hmm. a win if it's by a game-winning field goal yep. at the end. Now, if Oregon goes in there and stomps the living hell out of Texas
Tech, then you just take your hat off and tip it.
Then you go, well, good luck to Indiana or Bama, whoever mm-hmm. they get in the next round. And that's why, and maybe it's not a huge game in the pantheon of Oregon, but in the Lanning career,
yes.
this might be the biggest game.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think losing to Ohio State in that immediate reaction was a what the hell just happened?
Because it was so violent.
And
Jeremiah
Smith told you were about to get blown out 2 minutes into the game. But then Ohio State won a natty.
And so you feel a little bit better about it.
Really good
doing
it. And
they beat the crap out of everybody except for Notre Dame in the championship.
Yeah, and Will Howard and Jeremiah Smith and who was the, they had the, you know, the senior linebacker.
Jack Sawyer.
Jack Sawyer, yeah. The feel-good college football kid. And so I think that kind of pulled that a little bit back. But in the landing era, this is the biggest game. Because if you win this game and you take on Indiana, which I assume they will. We'll get to Alabama, Indiana in the hour number deuce. But like, if you lose to Indiana again, or say Ty Simpson goes out there and throws four touchdowns and 300 yards on you, you made a semis. I think you're okay. But if you lose here, I think it's going to be a tough field.
It's going to be one of those things where you're not James Franklining him. But
no.
you're writing it in pencil.
Yes.
Of like the Washington games, the Ohio State game, the Texas Tech game.
Because it ain't talent anymore.
No.
Georgia game was talent.
No, yeah.
I mean, that's all talent.
And that Georgia team, good gravy.
And in the end of the year, I would argue Ohio State was talent too.
Oh, God, yeah. Dusty and I talked about it a million times. That's the most talented roster in the country.
And they proved it by winning a title.
Yeah.
More to get to on this. We'll bring our good buddy Tyson Alger on, and we'll chat with him live from Miami. And we'll continue this conversation throughout the day. We'll take a little pause and get to some other college football games. We'll talk Blazers and the Nooner as well. So stick around for that. Tyson Alger is next. 105.1 The Fan. All right, it's a Wednesday here on the firm of Harrison Meringue. That means our good buddy Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor lookout, Eugene Springfield, joins us from Miami. I know you're a busy man, Tyson, so thanks for being with us. We'll jump right into it. Your initial thoughts going into this game, whether you've picked up from practice or picked up from the travel down there, talking with Lanning, et cetera, your initial thoughts on this huge game against Texas Tech. Hola.
There are certain elements to it that have, like, the whole game.
Tyson, let me put you on hold and let's kind of reestablish our connection as we're kind of missing it there from you. I know you are live in Miami. Jeff Russ to work on that for you. Tyson's live in Miami, gracious enough to give us his time. He texted me earlier and asked if he could just come on for a quick jaunt because things are pretty busy down there. I have to imagine things are wild down there. I've never been to one of these kind of games. Have you been to a game like this, Danny?
No, not like one of these.
No, these are big. I mean, Army Navy was a ton of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's close.
But that was more like fun.
It is, but I mean, we get the whole, you know, Radio Row, Media Row, and like, we've talked to people who've been there, who've covered Super Bowls, and be like, that's always the big thing is like, this is the most like well put together event of college football, of like the major sporting events.
Yeah.
Because it's run basically by the military.
Yeah, totally. And it's so funny, and especially in college football or baseball, you know, regional kind of sports like that, where you're used to talking to the same guys. You know, like Tiago Splitters used to sitting in the same room talking to the same reporters every night.
I sit in the same chair every time.
But then it's a Peacock game or an Amazon game or a TNT ESPN style game, and all of a sudden there's different reporters, and you're like, oh, well, that's a little different.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can just go back into when, you know, Chauncey got arrested, the first press conference that Tiago's up there for, Ramona Shelburne's up here.
Yeah, you're kind of like, wait a sec, that guy's in my seat. You're like, hey, dude, get the hell out of my seat. It's like Michael Wilbon. You're like, oh, never mind. You can sit there.
It is funny when you do have like the out-of-town media members that come in. Most of them know that everybody kind of has their spots and you just kind of fill in.
Do they kind of wait for everyone to sit down?
Yeah.
Hey, that's nice. Well, that's respectful.
I mean, because even the national folks, they have a home base somewhere.
All right. Sounds like we got Tyson back on the air. Let's go ahead and test this. Tyson, you there, my amigo?
I'm here. Can you hear
me? Oh, yeah.
We got you.
All right, there's some distance, but we'll work on it.
Well, I appreciate you loaning us time, and we won't take too much from you because, like you said, you're a busy man, so we'll jump right into it. Your initial reaction so far being down there going into this game, whether it be from practice leading up, conversations with Lanning, press conferences, just what is your initial vibe about this game against Texas Tech tomorrow?
Yeah, my impressions are these are two very good teams. They're two very well prepared teams. I think now that we're into the second year of this longer playoff route, I think they both kind of know what like they're getting into. I know this is Oregon's second year in a row, but I think just the kind of the NFL playoffification of this, I think has just kind of become the norm, which is interesting here being in Miami. Cause like I'm at the media hotel. There's Orange Bowl insignia like everywhere. And like, it's very apparent that it's the Orange Bowl, but like even at media day yesterday, just kind of like a quiet vibe. Like there wasn't a whole lot of national media there. maybe like some smaller local contingents than some other big bowl games I've been to in the past. And I just wonder like how much of that is the fact that everyone's just kind of got to pace themselves, right? Like I get this is the Orange Bowl. I get it's a New Year's Six, New Year's Day game, but you know, kind of what all the reporters are talking about down here is like, boy, can you believe that if so-and-so wins, you're going to have to go to Atlanta next week and then potentially back in Miami again. So I think while the teams are kind of prepared, like I feel like this feels like more kind of like, I heard somebody yesterday describe it as this kind of feels like the run up to the Penn State game, but just with more media. Like it just kind of like feels like a big game for each team. But in terms of kind of like the pomp and circumstance of a bowl, I think it's a little fluffy there.
Tyson, when you take a look at this game, I know you were on with the boys the other day on primetime talking about, you know, the fan turnout and it being closer to Texas. There's probably a few more Tech guys out there. But have you been able to talk to Duck fans and kind of get their sense, their feeling of how this game is going to go?
Yeah, I mean, like there's going to be more Texas Tech fans here just because it's Texas and proximity, but mm-hmm. Oregon fans have done a pretty good job of flying out here. In fact, I've been like slowly growing more and more like frustrated as I'm cooped up here in the media hotel trying to pump stories out as I'm seeing Duck fans like post like beach pictures of Miami and all this stuff. I haven't seen the water yet, guys. I've been here for like 50 hours and as far as I'm concerned, this is a landlocked state. I think this is a game where you just kind of like look at the matchup on paper. And I think fans are pretty aware of like who Texas Tech is and like how their identity has changed over the last couple of years as they've kind of infused NIL into it. And it was kind of interesting just like talking to the Texas Tech players yesterday and like them not having to like explain like the fact that they're an NIL roster because they're playing an Oregon team that's also an NIL roster. So it's just kind of two comparable programs, and I think people are pretty jazzed for this one, even if there's going to be a fair amount of red in that stadium tomorrow.
Yeah, I think what's really funny about this game is it's the best team money can buy versus the Oregon Ducks, which is usually not the narrative other teams like to say when they play the Oregon Ducks, because Texas Tech is a damn good team. And I kind of want to ask you, we did this a little bit with USC Oregon, where we were kind of like, the big obvious story was, what was USC's offense going to do against Oregon's defense? And I think the big question right now would be, what's Oregon's offense going to do against Texas Tech's defense? Look, if I had a Heisman vote, I would have voted for Rodriguez. I think he's just an absolute phenomenal player. But I actually think the secret story might be, can Texas Tech's offense do anything against Oregon's defense? Where do you lie in maybe the department, the pantheon? What part of Oregon's team really needs to come to play?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be what the offense can do against their defense. You know, if you look at both of these offenses, like they are among like the national leaders in explosive plays. And I know the thing with Tech is that their quarterback may not be as mobile as he usually is because of the injuries he's overcoming. But I just think both teams have a lot of playmakers on each side. And I think as long as the Ducks are able to kind of like take care of the football, that was the one thing Lanning was emphasizing like throughout the entire practice session that made available to us yesterday, was take care of the football, no turnovers. Like, I think it might just be one of those games where, you know, there's some people talking about the defenses and how this could be low scoring. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think the winner of this game is going to have 40-ish or so points, and it's just a matter of whether or not the Ducks can kind of be multifaceted enough to do that. Because the one thing with this Oregon team is we've seen them win a bunch of different ways, but I think this is going to be one of those games where you need to see them win with a several different things. I think you're going to need Dante to be crisp and take care of the football, but we also need to see the running game kind of run like it has all year, and we'll see like how healthy like Jordan Davidson is and some of those other guys. But, you know, getting the whole team mostly back healthy outside of Evan Stewart, I think, is a big boon for them. And yeah, like they know what they're in for.
Tyson, I'm going to do the thing I always ask you in a game week. How does Oregon lose this game?
If Texas Tech scores more points than them.
Thanks, John Madden.
Yeah, they used to put stick-em on their hands to catch those balls. Now they just have those gloves.
Well, but in the reality, do you think this is a game that Oregon loses if they shoot themselves in the foot, or can they sustain?
I think it's a game that they lose if they shoot themselves in the foot. Like Texas Tech is just too deep and too talented, especially at the top end, to, you know, basically give them a head start. And if there's one thing that we've seen with this Oregon team over the year where they haven't been like super efficient, it's penalties. It's been kind of Jekyll and Hyde for them there. And they've largely taken care of the football, but like, you know, you can even look at like the JMU game a couple weeks ago where it was like largely in hand. Dante throws a couple sloppy or throws a sloppy interception. It doesn't really come back to bite him. I think it would this week. So I think just ball security is huge for them.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. Make sure to catch all his stuff. We'll let you go, bud. Thanks for your time. And win or lose, we'll catch up with you on Wednesday. Have a happy new year in Miami, buddy.
Hey, thanks, boys.
Thanks, Tyson.
That is Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor lookout, Eugene Springfield. Again, we'll check in with him next week on however this game goes, and we'll see. You heard it there. If you missed any of that, you can go back and check the podcast or rewind fast forward on the Odyssey app. When we come back in hour number deuce, let's talk about some of these other big bowl games. As well, there's a big end tonight that I'm very interested. We'll start Miami, Ohio State, 105.1 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.